listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey, and Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games, streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts!
Gives it to McCaffrey, up the middle into the end zone!
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open, Ja'Marr Chase takes it in!
Touchdown, Chiefs!
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Coming up, hour 20 from now, we'll be joined by a man who was a first-team All-Pro, also made the Pro Bowl this year, and he just wrapped up his rookie season with the J-E-T-S Jets. That, of course, is Sauce Gardner. And then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, another man that just wrapped up his rookie season in the NFL, this time with the Washington Commanders. That will be Brian Robinson Jr. But first up, producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
So Hot Take Hickey's BFF in Frank Reich now has a job. And we have the first domino in the coaching carousel to fall, and that is the Carolina Panthers today. I wouldn't say in stunning fashion. It was slightly surprising to me, even though you heard he was a finalist. But if you are a finalist, as you learned yesterday on this show, then you have a shot to go get a job. Clearly, duh, obvious statement, but Hickey won't admit that Jeff Saturday getting a second interview with the Colts job doesn't have any shot to get the job. But anyway, the Panthers job with Frank Reich, it was a little bit surprising to me, but not shocking, because I didn't love the names that you were hearing about this Panthers job. And once you found out that Sean Payton was not going to get a second interview, I kind of thought, okay, if you can't get Sean, if you can't get Jim Harbaugh, then bring back Steve Wilks. And I don't know if Steve Wilks would have become the head coach on a full-time permanent basis with the Carolina Panthers if the Panthers would have had a great 4 or 5 year run with Steve Wilks. But with not a lot on the offensive side of the ball, Steve Wilks, when he was inserted into this role of interim head coach, did a nice job with this team. Made the Panthers actually a talking point for some positive reasons. So I thought he was deserving of the job. And if I was running the Panthers, if I was David Tepper, which I'm not, I would have hired Steve Wilks over Frank Reich. Like, if that was the choice, and that's the way it kind of was perceived with a few other names, do you go with Steve Wilks or do you go with Frank Reich? I would have picked Steve Wilks, but I don't own the team, and David Tepper ends up going with Frank Reich. So I want to be clear about this. Like, I don't think Frank Reich is a bad coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I do think he's at his best when he is an offensive coordinator. But as a head coach, like, he was okay with the Colts. But what sticks out to me is the last 2 years. Because the last 2 years, it showed bad signs of judgment from Frank Reich. Going out and being convinced that Carson Wentz was going to work just because you had success with him in Philadelphia was a bad decision by Frank Reich. And it burned him. It burned him in the biggest spot. Going up against a team that had the number one overall pick in the Jacksonville Jaguars, and your quarterback and your entire team was horrendous. But if it was just that one moment, that one decision, you would say, Zach, you got to be fair. Not everyone is perfect in this league. People make mistakes. And that's a fair argument. But this year, you saw the same mistakes over and over again. You saw Frank Reich once again not be able to beat the Tennessee Titans. You saw Frank Reich once again go to Jacksonville in week two and get absolutely destroyed. And each and every week, Frank Reich's team, and this is a fact, we're just not prepared. Because each and every week when they would go into the locker room at halftime, they would be trailing. And that's not hyperbole. That's not me reaching. That's not me making something up. They were outscored in the first 30 minutes of football this year when Frank Reich was the head coach, 118 to 42. Think about how lopsided that is. 118 to 42. That is what the opposition had in a lead when you combine up all the first halves that Frank Reich coached this past year. So I look at Frank Reich, and I know what Panthers fans are going to tell me. Oh, well, he has a good offensive background, and you need an offensive coach in the year of 2023, and the defense is set. You got nice, young, talented pieces on the defensive side of the ball. We need someone that's going to be so offensive-focused. With what I saw the last 2 years with Frank Reich, it was nothing that I loved. It was nothing to me that was something saying that's desirable and that's a guy that I need to have coach my team. And sure, Frank Reich, I said the day he got fired, he'll get another job as a head coach. He's well-respected in this league. He's a nice guy. And he wasn't a disaster in Indianapolis when you look at the overall tenure. But the last 2 years, it was bad. It was really bad the last two seasons in Indianapolis. So the point is here, if I was the Panthers and there was a name that would make everyone jump for joy, if there was a name that would make people do somersaults in the streets and cartwheels in the streets, I can understand passing up on Steve Wilkes. And there'd only be two names for that were realistic. Jim Harbaugh. And for whatever the reasons were, when Jim Harbaugh was trying to force an interview and get an interview with the Panthers, David Tepper said no per reports. Or Sean Payton. And whether it was Sean's interest not being actually as genuine as we thought, or David Tepper maybe thinking there could be some control problems in the organization if you bring him with Sean, Sean didn't come to fruition. And you just see the names, and we talked about the names that were finalists for this job or getting second interviews for this job the other day, and it was like, not the greatest of names. Like, you can't sit here right now and tell me that the Carolina Panthers are definitely going to be successful under Frank Reich. And for that reason, I would have just gone with what was working. Gone with what was working in the last two and a half months of the season in Steve Wilkes, who had the command and the trust of that locker room. And I would have said to Steve Wilkes, and this is maybe a big factor in it, I don't know, just speculating, who your offensive coordinator would be. I would have hired a strong offensive coordinator. And that's the approach I would have gone. But I don't own the Carolina Panthers. I'm not David Tepper. He elected to go with Frank Reich. So real quickly, Hickey, since this is your guy, you're a big time fan of Frank Reich. How'd you react to the news today when the Carolina Panthers elected to be the first domino to fall here in the coaching search with the five jobs that were open prior to today with Carolina, Denver, Indianapolis, Arizona, and Houston, and they did strike first. They go with Frank Reich.
I'm a little surprised, I'll be honest. I thought it was going to be Steve Wilkes' job. Even though he was a finalist, I still thought it was going to go to the man who was there already and had a nice turnaround. But I'm happy for Frank Reich. I hope he has success now. For him, my only wish is that he actually gets a quarterback in Carolina for more than 1 year. So I think this hiring, either way, Wilkes or Reich, I think it's going to signify an aggressive push from David Tepper this offseason. I would probably lean right now towards them being aggressive in the draft, trying to trade up for whether it's a Will Levis type or a C.J. Stroud type. But when you sit there at number nine, I think the Panthers are going to try to go as high as they can. I don't know, four, five,
Bryce
three,
Young.
Maybe Bryce Young. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to get up to number one. I doubt that. But I think that they'll definitely be in the mix for sure for trading up for a quarterback. I think more likely now that you hire Frank Reich with an offensive background.
Now, I know that you're more positive on Frank Reich than I am. But would you agree that Frank Reich, like if you were a Panthers fan, you wouldn't be jumping up and down over this Frank Reich hire? Like, this hire doesn't overly excite you where you go, okay, I could see why they moved away from Steve Wilkes, who was the interim head coach.
I mean, it's an offensive-driven league. So, again, you have a guy who I think is still a good play caller, still a good offensive mind, and then you would think would pair him with, again, a young quarterback that you can mold, whether it was what we saw in Carson Wentz early in Philly, what he did with 1 year in rehabbing Andrew Luck's career, Philip Rivers' career at the end of his, you know, or Philip Rivers' year in Indy at the end of his career. He's shown a good propensity, more times than not, to develop and get the most out of quarterbacks. So you've got to feel good, at least, or encouraged. Okay, at least you have a competent offensive mind there you can trust that should be able to develop whatever quarterback you get in the draft.
Once, if I'm a Panthers fan, this would be my reaction today. Like for example, give me just a one-word or one-expression reaction. If you were a Panthers fan today, Hickey, what that reaction would be like, you see the text, you see the alert, your one-word reaction is what?
But like, okay, with an exclamation point, like one of those, like, okay, good, like, here we go.
That sounded like an okay. I'm gonna talk myself into liking this, okay. But we could have done better.
Frank Reich, okay.
That doesn't sound that encouraging.
But okay, with an exclamation point.
Mine would be Frank Reich, That's what it is. It's a hire. You know, guy's been a good head coach in this league. Teams were constantly unprepared to start games this year. They never had a lead at halftime. This season was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. His team was a disaster in the final game of the season 2 years ago against Jacksonville. And you see the same things continue to pop up. Couldn't be Tennessee the last 2 years in a big spot. Couldn't be Jacksonville in Jacksonville ever. And the games when they started were so bad for the Colts this past season. Like, I understand there was problems with the Colts roster this year. I understand Matt Ryan was way past his prime. But to be outscored 118 to 42 in the first half of games this year and never have a lead at halftime, if I'm a Panthers fan, this move doesn't excite me. It would make me rather have Steve Wilkes back as the head coach. And I've said it 9,000 times already in this segment. If you couldn't get Sean Payton or if you couldn't get Jim Harbaugh, and there wasn't another name out there that made you jump up and down like a fat kid in a candy store, Steve Wilkes should have been brought back. And the interim tag should have been removed. And he should have been named the full-time head coach. So now when we look at the rest of these jobs, if we had to give predictions, we know Frank Reich is going to the Carolina Panthers. You see a report out of Denver today from Mike Kliss that D'Amico Ryans is the leading candidate for the Denver job now. And I would imagine that's from the Denver side. We don't know what D'Amico Ryans wants to do. I'm going to say, since Harbaugh's not going to Denver, the momentum has kind of hit a wall here or hit a speed bump on Sean going to Denver. I'm going to assume with how they have the richest owners in the league, the Denver Broncos, they got to find a way to get their guy. And even though the first two guys they may or may not have wanted for the job were Harbaugh and Sean, D'Amico Ryans is a name that is well-known in this league, and he's done a remarkable job on the defensive side of the ball with the 49ers. There's always a risk when you bring in a coordinator who's ever been a head coach before, but I do think that would be a popular hire, and I think Denver has to make a popular hire, and they will be willing to spend more than a lot of other teams. So I do think the Broncos land D'Amico Ryans. Hickey, where are you at on the Denver job? If you had to make a prediction today, who gets it?
I'm with you. I'll go with what the front runners are saying. I'll say D'Amico Ryans as well.
How about the Cardinals? Who are you going with for the Cardinals job?
Sean Payton.
Oh, so you think that actually happens now?
Yes. I'm not sold that. I think he's desperate enough to come back. I think now that reality is setting in where the Panthers are obviously out, seemingly, I guess the Broncos are out, whether it's ownership driven, seemingly.
Yeah.
I think he still wants a coach. I think worst case scenario, we'll be back at Fox. And now when you see him interviewing with the Cardinals today, it's been going on kind of like a Jim Harbaugh-esque interview for almost the entire day. I think they leave with the deal.
That's fascinating. Because I'm going to be just fully transparent with you. I'm at like 60-40 now when it comes to Sean to Arizona. And I know the last 3 days, we have really done a complete 180. A complete 180 when it comes to Sean. One day we said he's taking a job. One day we say he's not taking a job. And then today, and I look at this number too. This is from an Arizona Cardinal reporter and host on Phoenix Cardinals. The odds for Sean according to DraftKings Sportsbook, this is Johnny Venerable is the reporter's name. What do you think the odds have shifted in the last hour for Sean?
He's a leader, I'm sure, at
this
point.
He was plus 1,000. What do you think he is now? It's not
plus 150.
Plus 350.
Is that first?
Brian Flores was plus 115 as of yesterday. I don't know where it currently is at. It doesn't give all the numbers. I'm between Flores and Sean here. I'm going to say, and it is weird, right? How long is this interview going on right now?
All day. I think it started maybe 9 or 10 a.m. local time. So 8 hours, 7 hours, something like that.
What's the benefit for Sean to sit through this entire interview just to go back to Fox? Like, for Harbaugh, you could at least argue, even though I think he wanted the Vikings job, he could have tried to negotiate a new contract with Michigan and make it look like he was leaving because his salary the year before was cut significantly. I don't see the motivation for Sean. Now, the Cardinals could say, we don't want you, and that's different. But if Sean was on the fence about this job, wouldn't you kind of think that this interview would be over right now? Like, this shows me he really wants the job. I'm going to say the Cardinals hire him. I'll go that the Cardinals hire him. If they don't, I'll say Brian Flores. How about the Texans?
I'm going to go with the Broncos defense coordinator, Hero Evero.
Okay.
Avero. I think it's Avero. I butchered it. I apologize to Hero.
Why are you apologizing? Why are you
I feel like I want to get his name right. He's a professional.
Okay.
Hero Evero. I think it's Evero. Hero Evero, Broncos defense coordinator, new Texans head coach.
You're like the Colts right now in Jacksonville with the way that you just tried to.
Well, I'm trying to be right.
That.
I'm trying to get it right. Trying to give the man the respect he deserves.
I'll go for the Texans, Jonathan Gannon. Now, here's the big one. Dun, 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 dun. Your Indianapolis Colts. Come on. My favorite day of the week, by the way, is Saturday, just letting everyone know.
Same. Who doesn't love a good Saturday?
You love Saturday, right?
I love Jeff Saturday the center. I love Saturday the day, without a doubt.
Uh-huh.
I will go with Bengals offense coordinator Brian Callahan, next head coach.
Wait, I thought he wasn't getting a second interview. It wasn't likely he was getting a second interview the other day, as they said.
Well, he's going to get one. I think he's going to get one once the Bengals season's over. They didn't announce anyone who's still alive. They have 6 to 7 second interview requests. Mm-hmm. They made the 4 of guys who are not coaching. And quick math, there's 2 or 3 left out there. I'm going to say he gets the second interview, he gets the job.
And even though Jeff Saturday is getting a second interview, you are still Mr. Stubborn saying there's a no percent chance that Jeff Saturday gets the job.
Now Jim Irsay can actually hear Jeff Saturday's plan. And the more Jeff Saturday talks, I think the reality will smack Jim Irsay in the face and realize, I can't go through with this. So yes, 0.000% chance Jeff Saturday is the next Colts head coach.
Would you shave your head in that?
I'll shave a 63 into the side of my head for the entire football season.
Oh, so like you're now like only half gutless because you should just shave your entire base if it was 0.000.
Give a ode to Jeff's playing days, and I'll get the Ring of Honor number in my hair.
Now, I did talk to our boss Spike today about this. Spike has some clippers. Can we get Spike to shave the 63 in your head when Jeff Saturday becomes the next coach of the Colts?
He has clippers?
Mm-hmm.
In his office?
He's big in the barber world. We were talking about this. He thought you were gutless for not saying you would shave your head yesterday. Please. If Jeff Saturday was the coach.
I like
you think
my
it's
hair.
A 0%
Spike
chance.
Spike has good hair, too. I don't think he gives himself his hair. No. Does he give himself a haircut? If so, maybe.
That I don't know, but he did
I
say,
will say yes.
Now thinking about it, Ryan does have a good head of hair. His words, not mine. I do agree with him, though.
Now thinking about it, didn't call off the top of his head. Huh? Interesting.
I'm predicting Jeff Saturday is the next head coach of the Colts. So we know the Panthers hired Reich. Broncos, I think we'll hire D'Amico Ryans. Colts, I'll say Jeff Saturday. Cardinals, I'm going Sean Payton. And if it's not Sean, I'll say Brian Flores. And the Texans with Jonathan Gannon. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back and we'll chat a little bit about the 49ers QB situation moving forward.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So, Hickey, I forgot to ask you here before we get into the future of the Niners at their quarterback position. We know that Frank Reich, as we opened up the show, is going to be the next head football coach of the Carolina Panthers. So the Panthers send out a message. Panthers agree to terms with Frank Reich to become new head coach. One of the first responses on a quote retweet was the Indianapolis Colts saying, "Congratulations to this good man." Now, I could understand that sometimes when you part ways with someone, you still wish them well. But I think this is just a weird tweet from Indianapolis. Like, you fired the guy. It's time to move on. It's now been several months. I don't really think they needed to write congratulations to this good man, because you're congratulating the Panthers on getting Frank Reich makes you think that you believe this is a good hire. Then why'd you fire the guy in the first place, one could say. So, I don't know. Did you think that was bizarre a little bit by the Colts today?
The wording was definitely not ideal. The fact that the tweet by the Panthers was put out at 2 o'clock Eastern, and then at 4:02 is when the Colts quote tweeted. So you had 2 hours and 2 minutes exactly to craft some sort of response if you wanted to wish him well. This feels like when you say congrats on a good to a good man, exclamation point. This feels like Jim Mersey taking the reins of Twitter for himself and tweeting it out like just under the Colts guise, but him actually doing the tweeting. That's what it feels like to me.
It's almost as if Jim Irsay just wants to be friends with everybody. And when you're in this business, you can't be friends with everybody. Like, if a player gets cut from their roster and they get picked up somewhere else, is he going to start getting on Twitter and saying, "Congrats to some guy that couldn't even make our practice squad. He was a good man." I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the world that we live in, and some people are going to say, "Oh, this is just an annoyed talk show host, and this is an old man yelling at a cloud," even though I'm only 28. But it seems like we now live in a world where at times we get so soft when we part ways with someone. And I'm not saying you want to wish someone poorly, like, and wish bad upon someone, but the amount of people in all sports that get these thank you posts and get these videos sent out about them, it's kind of insufferable. Like, that used to be a tribute video or a post on the internet about someone that gets hired or signs or gets traded somewhere else. Like, that used to be pretty special. Now, you get someone cut off a practice squad, they get like a message. "Oh, thanks. Well, wish you well moving forward." Like, Frank Reich is not a Colts legend. He's the farthest thing from it. Like, he did a fine job in Indianapolis. I don't think the Colts had to say anything today. Just let the tweet be. But we always have to comment on something because people get afraid now of the optics that people are going to go to Jim Irsay and say, "Oh, you didn't congratulate Frank Reich. That means you don't want him to do well." It's like ridiculous.
Do other teams do this? Like, I don't know, honestly. Like, do teams that fire coaches, like, wish them well if they get hired? Like, trying to think if, let's Here's just one. Say for, like, if Cliff Kingsbury's hired as a new head coach, it's not going to be. But do the Cardinals say, like, "Congrats to our guy"? Like,
I think they would.
I think this is... Yeah, this is...
This is not an outlier, though, because here's one that always annoys me. You're a Mets fan, just like me. Would you think that Jason Vargas would be deserving of a "we wish you well" kind of post? But when the Mets got rid of Jason Vargas, there was a post like that, like, "thanks for the memories."
Well, I will say, if you're trading away someone, like, I understand the thanks for, you know, your contribution.
What did he do?
He pitched.
You don't need a... Yeah, he pitched. Not well. You don't need a post.
That's small enough on Twitter where I don't mind it.
Oh, come on.
Now, again, you fired the guy after week 8, and now all of a sudden, or week 9, and now you're saying, congrats to this good man.
Yeah.
Feels a little weird. A little weird.
And also, and I'm not the biggest fan of Frank Reich. Like, I liked him as an offensive coordinator when he was in Philadelphia. I think he's an okay head coach. I don't think this is some special hire by the Carolina Panthers, as I explained why earlier. I'm starting to look at this, though. Who are the Colts bringing in that's going to be better than Frank Reich? And I don't know about you, with some of the names that you hear for this Colts job, I wonder if they're going to be able to do better than where they were with Frank Reich.
I mean, off the bat, no.
And it was time to move on. We could all admit that.
Clearly, there's the credentials of Frank Reich, but again...
And they're not great credentials.
How many head coaches we talk about that, you know, were question marks coming in now flourish? Like Zach Taylor, Nick Sirianni, for two examples.
Good point.
You know, it's off the top. There's not many guys where you really say, oh, that's a home run. Outside of Sean Payton, outside of Jim Harbaugh, there's really no one in this entire class that you can really say, oh, this guy is without a doubt for sure better than the last person we had.
I think D'Amico Ryans, even though how many times do we get a hotshot offensive or defensive coordinator that everyone loves and says this guy's going to be an amazing coach, and they end up failing in the league, I do think out of all the coordinators that are available, would you agree with the statement, offensive and defensive side of the ball, it would appear that D'Amico Ryans' name, if you hire, would resonate the most positive reaction.
Yeah, I guess, but also like at the same time, what does that do for anyone? Like, you know, winning the press conference means honestly nothing. We've seen Joe Judge win the press conference. And I'm like, wow, this guy knows who he saw. This is the Giants are changing, and then he's going for QB sneaks on third down. So, or you know, to run out the clock, basically.
He's kneeling down the football.
Not even QB sneak. And kneel. Thank you. Yes.
Back to back
on 3rd and 9, he goes, oh, it's quarterback sneak. So, like, you know, that's also a part where winning the press conference, having the name pop. We've seen. I think it's been proven over and over again. Really doesn't matter. Really doesn't do much.
No, it's a fair point that you bring up, but I don't know who the Colts are going to bring in that's going to make you... Well, you'll always put some positive spin on it, knowing you, but I don't know how you're going to be happy with anybody that they do bring in.
It's all hope. I mean, look, if they bring in the guy, like I said, Brian Callahan, or you go Shane Steichen, like it's hope that they can translate what they did in their respective teams and their offenses to this offense, whether it's Raheem Morris. You hope that he learned from his first experience, we'll say, in Tampa Bay and can get better, but it's all hope. It's all hope.
I guess that's all you could have if you're a Colts fan right now. You got to hope that one day it turns around because this team is in a bad, bad spot. It shows to me just with the candidates for the Colts job that Jeff Saturday is a legit candidate, that is the least desirable job on the market. Anyway, let's get to the 49ers QB situation. If you had to make a prediction right now, who's starting at quarterback week 1 next year for the San Francisco 49ers? So for the 2023 regular season, Hickey, if you had to make that prediction right now and put some shekels on it, who'd be your choice?
This is tough. I will go with Brock Purdy.
I'm with you too. Because even if Brock Purdy doesn't play well this weekend, I think he's already done enough to at least bare minimum start game 1. And I know that they've invested a lot in Trey Lance with the draft picks and the first round picks that they gave up to go out there and acquire Trey Lance. But I keep on going back to this. I don't know how sold Kyle Shanahan was at the start in drafting and wanting Trey Lance when they made that trade. Because remember, his BFF, Chris Sims, and they have those matching tattoos, which I always did find creepy. Chris Sims was the first one that got on television and said, I think this move was made to go out there and trade up for Mac Jones. And then eventually, I do think Kyle Shanahan was talked into the upside of Trey Lance by John Lynch and by others in the organization. I know John Lynch has said we were going to go with the guy that Kyle wants. And I think there was enough pushback in that organization on Mac Jones that it ended up being Trey Lance was the guy. Now, you could talk yourself into saying you are a fan of Trey Lance, but there's always going to be that skepticism if you initially, because of that first impression, weren't on board. So in one way, I do think that them putting all that capital in for Trey Lance couldn't mean that he could return as the starter next year. But since really Shanahan has Purdy looking so good right now, and Shanahan does not love Trey Lance. Maybe he likes him. I'm not saying he loves him. I'm going to go with Purdy. And the other part of this, too, if the Niners win the next two games, how do you not start the guy that won the Super Bowl? Like, even in Philadelphia, when they had all that invested in Carson Wentz and Foles won the Super Bowl, I know it was only for two games. And they talked about the health and all that, but you did have Nick Foles start game one before getting replaced early on in the season. I think it was in week three up against the Indianapolis Colts. I was at that game. I think that was week three. So I'm going to say that it's going to be Brock Purdy, and probably the only thing that makes me move off of that, and if he is just horrendously bad this weekend. But I kind of think he is now deserving of getting that job, and the more and more games he wins in these next two games, if he goes to the Super Bowl and loses the Super Bowl, you said no to Tom Brady when Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders coming off a Super Bowl loss. So I'm starting to think that Purdy's a starter next year. If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have said Brady, but I don't think the 49ers are going to now tangle with Brady because of Purdy. And if then Purdy struggles in the first month or two out of the season, then they'll eventually hand the baton over to Trey Lance. So I'm with you. That's something we do agree on, that Purdy's going to be starting week one for the San Francisco 49ers. All righty, we'll take a break. When we come on back, how do we rank the coaches 1 through 4 this weekend in the AFC and NFC title games? And also, we'll do the same for QBs as well.
The NFL playoffs live on Odyssey. And Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC championship games. Streaming live for free this Sunday on the Odyssey app. The 49ers visit the Eagles.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
Gives it to McCaffrey up the middle into the end zone.
And then it's a rematch between the Bengals and the Chiefs.
Wide open, Ja'Marr Chase takes it in. Touchdown, Chiefs.
Catch all the action from Westwood One. Your playoffs, your Odyssey. Get in the game and download the free Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I don't know about you, Hickey. I'm actually a little disappointed today. And I'm disappointed because this is going to sound weird. So we're going to the Super Bowl for the trip. I'm going to the game. I got my tickets today. I know that this was the case last year, but I thought maybe we'd go back to traditional tickets eventually. Not that I need a traditional ticket for like every event I go to. Like, you go to a regular season game, okay, I don't need a traditional ticket. But when you get into the playoffs and you're talking about games that are really, really important and history could be made, like a Super Bowl, the final game of the season, Super Bowl 57, I think they should give you a hard copy of the ticket. Instead, they send you now like after the game, an NFT of the ticket. And I'm not going to say that. Probably. So it's, I don't know, not a big time problem, but the mobile ticket thing, that's probably just something I'll never get on board with. I'm fine with the regular season, but postseason, I want a real hard copy of the ticket.
I'm with you, and that's, I think we'll never see that again. I hate to say it. Every sporting event now, it's always online. I'll be honest, do they even make regular tickets anymore? I don't think so.
I have never seen a regular ticket since COVID.
Yeah, I can't. Any game I've gone to, it's been on my phone.
Well, like anytime we get tickets here through our company, like Yankee game, Met game, anything like that, it's now all through the phone. They just give your email address and then boom, there you go. So, I don't know. It's just,
I'm with you. It's a weird thing. Physical ticket is great.
Did you grow up collecting tickets?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I have a bunch.
My parents are moving from my childhood house. So they're downsizing. So I had a box of tickets, like, in my childhood room growing up as a kid. And my dad was like, how many of these tickets do you want to keep? And I go, oh, next time I'm home, I got to go through the box. I'm sure there's a lot of tickets there that I don't need, but I'm sure there's going to be some big-time events that I'm going to want to keep there. I feel like our kids, you know, whenever those Gelbs and Hickeys are running around years and years and years from now, they're going to look at us as if we're crazy because they're going to grow up in a life where they only go to a sporting event where you need your cell phone. Have you ever been to a sporting event where your phone has died? Because I feel like once you get in the building, no one really checks your ticket anymore other than the first time you go down to your section. But I've always wondered that. If you're at the game, your phone dies, like, where's the proof of your ticket? If someone really wanted to make an issue, like, oh, can I see your tickets? I want to make sure that you're in your seat.
Died one time. Thankfully, I had a physical ticket, so no problem.
When was that?
Big Ten Championship 2016, Penn State versus Wisconsin.
Oh, that's the Stone Age now for the...
Stone Age. 5 years ago.
For the ticket era.
I guess 6 years ago. But
thank
God,
I had a
physical...
ticket?
No, physical ticket. Oh, that's how I got in. That's what I'm saying. My phone died one time, but it was a physical ticket. But now I make sure that I only barely use my phone, like, before the game. Just because I don't want any risk of the phone battery dying and not being able to get in. So now it's basically... whether it's a night game, I'm charging all day. Whether it's a day game, not touching it barely until I get in the stadium.
Yeah, could you? I'm sure there's enough charging stations as is at the Super Bowl. But could you imagine that you bought tickets to the Super Bowl, you're on your way, and your phone dies? Now you could go find a charger somewhere, but that's just another part of the whole situation that I've not thought of. Or if, let's say, someone is claiming that you're in their seats, they come up to you, hey sir, can I see your tickets? Oh. My phone is dead. Like, does anyone actually
convenient.
Believe that?
Convenient timing there, buddy. Get out.
Yeah, and then you get kicked out when you paid, like, whatever it was to get into the building. All right, so this weekend, you want to do quarterbacks or you want to do coaches first when we rank them 1 through 4, best to worst?
Let's do quarterbacks first.
Okay. I think this is fairly easy. I'm going Mahomes 1. It's not by a wide margin. I've been saying this now for the better part of 3 weeks, that if Joe Burrow wins a Super Bowl this year, defeats Mahomes again, and that's now 4 straight against Mahomes, and he gets a ring, I think you then have to put Burrow up as the best quarterback in the league. But since Burrow has just been to a Super Bowl yet and has not won one yet, even though he's beat Mahomes the last 3 times, one of them being in the AFC title game a year ago in Arrowhead, or as Mike Hilton's now calling it, Burrowhead, I will still lean Mahomes as the best quarterback in football, and he's going to win the MVP this year, so add a second MVP to his trophy mantle. Then 2, it's kind of like a 1A, but I'll say 2 because we're ranking him 1 through 4. I'll go Joe Burrow. 3, it's a man that is a finalist for the MVP, has done a wonderful job this season, looks to be the franchise quarterback moving forward for the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe the best leader at the quarterback position in the year of 2023. That is Jalen Hurts. And then 4th, this is not me saying this guy's a bad quarterback. I just predicted that he's going to be the starting quarterback next year, but you have to have someone before. There's just more talent and more upside with Mahomes, Burrow, and Hurts, and they're more established players than Brock Purdy. So I'll put Brock Purdy in at number 4. Your list, please.
I go Joe Burrow 1.
Really?
Joe Burrow 1, he's beaten Mahomes every single time. Not to mention, again, the videos can say one thing. I don't trust Patrick Mahomes is going to be 100%. I don't think he's going to be anywhere near, frankly, 100%. That's going to really limit his game. And I think with that said, I think you got to put Burrow number 1 there, even though the game's an Arrowhead. So I'll go Burrow 1, Mahomes 2, Hurts 3, and then with you, Purdy 4.
Did you see the latest update on Mahomes today?
That he's doing a twirl? Or
yes.
As James Palmer said, a pirouette, I believe, which is a very fancy and technical term. I did see the pirouette.
Let's just talk.
Off of his left foot.
Let's just talk how us men would talk. The guy was doing a twirl.
Off his left foot, which is important to know. That's the non-injured foot. Anyone can spin on their non-injured foot.
Oh, I didn't see that part. I just saw the twirl. I did not get into the specifics of it.
Spun and then planted the left foot and started walking right.
How stupid is this? I know.
This is what you got to do now.
What else are we going to do? I get that. But this is pretty stupid at this point.
If you are James Palmer being based in Kansas City this whole week, you are looking
James.
At no other body part outside of the right ankle of Patrick Mahomes for 3 hours or however long you get to be at practice for.
James is a friend of the show, and he probably has better access than any other person in the media because he works for the NFL Network. I would be so tired of this damn ankle if I'm James Palmer, and it's only Thursday. But that's the biggest story. Tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, it's ankle. For Patrick Mahomes. It's probably the most absurd thing that we've had to cover injury-wise for a big quarterback since the Brady thumb. Remember when Brady had the practice leading up to the, I think it was the AFC title game?
Yes.
Against Jacksonville. And Brady literally thought his season was over. And he got it caught up with Rex Burkhead's helmet. And then he was wearing gloves. Gloves! To the press conference. And he goes on out against Jacksonville. And he plays really well in the fourth quarter. And he still wore the gloves, because I was at the media night. He still wore the gloves at the Super Bowl opening night, which is their media night, when they were going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Remember the Brady gloves thing? That was just the definition of stupidity.
I'm glad Rex Burkhead's career was not derailed after that incident, which he should have probably been cut.
Well, they documented it in, what was the, it wasn't Tom versus Time. It was whatever ESPN released this past year. Or
Man in the Arena.
Man in the Arena. Thank you very much. And that, like, Brady and Alex Guerrero, his personal trainer, they really thought his season was over.
Yeah, so that's a good point. We have not had this specific of an injury where everyone's paying attention to. Because the regular season, everything gets washed away. Yeah. And it's like, oh, we'll monitor. But now it's like, we were breaking down yesterday, him walking off of the podium,
so stupid,
down the two steps and walking out the door, which is probably 10 feet total. And we're sitting there saying, oh, man, ankle looks good. We're watching his gait. Yeah, this is...
I would love to be at one time in my life, in a stage of my life where people actually care how I walk up to a podium. And they're dissecting every step I take for the 5 seconds they saw me. Mahomes could have went right past that door. And he could have started limping, falling down, and no one would know. But, oh, he walked up to the podium and he did a few stretches yesterday and a twirl today. So he's good.
I wish he took the Josh Allen approach. Remember when Josh Allen hurt his elbow and, like, the first media availability after the elbow injury against the Jets? Everyone's walking in. He picks up his helmet and, like, just runs away. He runs into the locker room, runs off. That's what you should do for your home. Just create a little more intrigue. Get out of there. Get out of sight.
But if I was Mahomes and this wasn't as bad as what people are making it out to be, which with just what we saw the last 2 days, now I think people are trying to diminish how bad the ankle is. And it is a high ankle sprain. So I don't know what the impact's going to be. I would have gone to the podium with ice taped all around my ankle to make it seem, if I knew I wasn't that badly injured, that it was worse than what it actually was.
I'd do the Big Ben walking boot. Maybe put a neck brace on just for
giggles.
Mike,
the Situation, yeah. Kind of neck brace with the glasses. Jersey Shore comes back tonight, by the way.
Oh, did not know that.
I'll something to watch once it becomes made available on the MTV app. So that'll be about tomorrow morning. I hope they're not late, because I would love to early morning watch a little Jersey Shore.
But I'm with you. I'm a Holmes. I like maybe just put my, like, get the Hugh Freeze medical bed that was wheeled up in the press box the one time. I'll do it. I'm with you. Make it look like as bad as possible. And all of a sudden come out of the tunnel like Willis Reed on Sunday, running like there's no problem in the world.
You love the Hugh Freeze sitting
God.
In the hospital.
How can you not?
I think you mentioned that yesterday too.
I forget the context, but I think you're right. The only thing I love better than that is the thumbs up that whatchamacallit gave him, the Syracuse head coach. I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, Dino Babers.
Yeah. Give him the thumbs up, yeah, after the game. Like, come on.
Hickey can get a paper cut. You know, this is my Hugh Freeze moment. I'm going to produce the radio show out of the hospital bed.
Some people reference a Jordan Flew game. I say the Hugh Freeze hospital bed moment.
Coaches this weekend. I'm going Andy 1, Kyle Shanahan 2, Zach Taylor 3, and then Sirianni 4. I love Sirianni. I think Sirianni's wonderful. But Andy Reid has won a Super Bowl. Went to 5 NFC title games as the head coach of the Eagles. We know each and every year now he's in the AFC title game with the Kansas City Chiefs and has been to an additional Super Bowl. Shanahan has been to a Super Bowl and now is a third-string quarterback, and they still just had a dominant team and didn't lose a game since going to 3-4. Zach Taylor was coaching the Super Bowl last year, and Sirianni, he just hasn't had enough time in the league yet, and maybe gets the Super Bowl this year. What he's done is impressive, but someone's got to be 4 for so Sirianni's 4 for me.
I think your order is right, and I really don't think there's much of an argument for moving anyone up
maybe
or down.
Maybe Taylor and Nick, I think that could be like the biggest debate.
But like I said,
if you want to say
Super Bowl.
The argument would be if you want to go Nick over Taylor, Sirianni played more of a role in developing Jalen Hurts the last 2 years than maybe Zach Taylor did in Joe Burrow, because Burrow was already established as a number one overall pick and thought to be great. There are a lot of questions about Jalen Hurts, and no one, even if you like Jalen Hurts like I did, could have thought that Jalen Hurts would have been an MVP type of player before the season started. When we come on back, we'll make some pitches on who should go on out and get Aaron Rodgers.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.